This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome to Outspoken. Now, we thought we'd kick today's episode off by telling you about an email we received from a long-time listener called Rodney.
Now, a long-time listener? We sound like some talkback radio show.
Oh my God.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
He's been listening from day one, Rodney. He is a teacher and he told us that one of his students, Chelsea, has actually done a speech about our podcast, which is so lovely. Thank you, Chelsea, for doing it. So we thought it was pretty interesting timing because we have been receiving a few DMs of people saying, how can we tell you apart? And we thought that Chelsea captured it quite well in her speech. So she said that, Kate, you're the sass queen, which I think is pretty spot on.
I think so.
Amy brings the fire, which
I think
quite that's accurate.
No, I feel like Kate brings the fire to most
yeah,
episodes.
I feel like those both should be me, but and she said that I'm the brains of the outfit, which I mean I'd like to think is spot on.
Do you know what's funny though? Because I always think our voices, like when I listen, I'm like, it's quite obvious who's who. But even our mum gets confused on the phone sometimes. And I was actually listening to Mamma Mia out loud and they had Jessie Stevens and her twin sister Claire Stevens on. And it was so cute because they pronounced things the same. And I thought that must be what it's like when people are listening to us.
For those who are struggling to tell us apart, I thought we'd go through and tell you a little bit more about us. So I'm Amy and I used to work as a reporter at Channel 7. My boyfriend is Dale. A lot of people say we mention our boyfriends a lot.
He's the one that loves Marketplace and isn't really good at decorating.
Oh, that's horrible. But yes, that is him. I've always been known as the sporty triplet and I work with Sophie and we run Hula Media and I'm the videographer at our firm.
I feel like this is our own little speeches and presentations.
I know.
And I'm getting nervous and my armpits are starting to sweat.
Kate, we'll go to you next.
Well, I've always been known as the bossy triplet. Mum was interviewed in the Advertiser when we turned one. We were actually the front page of the newspaper, which was quite amusing. And she said I was the bossy one. And I think that's always stuck. I feel like I've always been the boss and the mum in our triplet relationship.
And I'm the dad. This is Amy.
Amy is the dad. I'm more organized, I think, than the other two. I like to think I'm right about a lot of things.
You're basically, if we were characters in Friends, you'd be Monica.
Yeah, exactly right. And I have worked in professional sport for the last 5 years in media management, and I'm currently working in digital marketing at the moment.
Can I just say, if this was Friends, Sophie would be Rachel, yeah, and I would be Phoebe, because I'm a bit zany as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the best way to describe me would be to go back to our 21st speeches when I was described as a magpie because I like shiny things. I can be a little bit high maintenance.
And when you say shiny things, you don't mean superficial things. It's more like, you know, when
I
a magpie.
Steal things.
Yeah, when a magpie, they
not
always.
Not from stores, just from.
Yeah. Just from her sisters.
Yeah, so a magpie goes out and steals things that they put in their nest. That was literally what life was like living with Sophie.
It's still like that. I received a text message from Amy yesterday. I don't know if Sophie knows this, but Sophie had stolen her Nike jumper and Amy was horrified because Sophie left it on the clothesline. So it got that really rigid board like. And I think it also had bird shit on it. Or something.
No, it was just stained from the line.
Well, I don't think
that's
line. Indicative of me. But anyway, trying to avoid an argument here. On the artwork, I'm the one with the blondest hair and my boyfriend is Brandon. We love watching YouTube together. I think that describes us quite well.
Kate is the one with the brunette hair and Reese doesn't like being mentioned on the podcast much. So.
I believe there was one episode where he cut his fingernails on a couch.
No, Sophie.
Okay, wait.
Don't cut that out.
Well, talking about how Reese doesn't like being mentioned on the podcast, I feel like something that can't be excused and we can't not mention is the fact that you and Reese have bought a house together this week.
Yes. Well, we've put a successful offer on a house up in the hills. So I'm going to be far away from Amy and Sophie, which Sophie's not happy about.
It was a bit of a shock for me. I was told, you're not going to like this announcement, but we've bought a house an hour away from you.
It's not an hour away. It's 40 minutes away.
In no traffic.
Anyway, and it's quite funny though, because we announced it at family dinner, but Sophie and Amy arrived at different times. So Amy came in and I was like, oh, I was trying to find a moment to tell her. And I'm like, oh, Amy, Reese and I have something to tell you. And Amy's face literally dropped. I could see this terror on her face thinking that we were going to say we were pregnant. Is that what you were thinking?
I was a little bit confused, and then I thought, oh, they were looking at a house, so maybe it's that.
I thought someone had died because last time this news was broken, our rabbit had died, so I was quite, anyway.
Well, it is exciting. We are waiting for the building inspection today and our finances to be approved. So hopefully by next week we'll be getting excited. I am looking at Pinterest a lot. So if anyone's got any decorating ideas, please send them my way. I need them.
And this is more of a poor man's Pinterest kind of thing, isn't it? Because let's be honest, you've spent most of the money on the deposit.
Yeah, well, it's not the house isn't going to be a show home until probably we've saved a bit more money.
So it's not like Sarah's Day's house where it's like you're gutting everything, everything new is coming in. It's more like you're kind of perusing Facebook
marketplace. Yeah, we're taking our shitty IKEA furniture with us and it will be replaced as we have money coming through.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. Now, so if you had a bit of an awkward incident, I wouldn't say it's an awkward turtle, but it was an awkward occurrence that happened when you went to visit your cousin or our cousin.
Yeah, it was pretty awkward because we were meeting our cousins for dinner and my cousin Cameron, who is 24, he was standing out the front of the house waiting to greet me. And one of his new neighbors was like, oh, is that your girlfriend? And he was very awkward. He was like, no, it's my cousin. And then the neighbor was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
It's funny because that's happened to me, but with our even younger cousin who's 22. We were at Zambrero's and my favorite place and we were ordering. And at the end, Stewie kindly gave me his Zambrero points. And the girl behind the counter goes, that's true love. And we just looked at each other and awkwardly laughed and left.
It was quite ironic because a few days later, I discovered this Instagram page called Siblings or Dating, and it has 281,000 followers. And basically, they put up photos and the users have to guess whether they are siblings or are dating. And it's super awkward because a lot of the sibling photos, the people have their hands on one another's laps, or it just looks too overly cuddly weird.
Are they purposely playing it up for the page?
Oh, I don't actually know how they picked them, because there were a few Adelaide couples on here that I don't think are, like, there was Kane Corns and his wife Lucy.
Oh, so it's not a voluntary thing. It's just people have
nothing where you can. Oh, it says DM submission, so people must send them in.
Let's DM Sophie and our cousin in and see what people say.
Actually, we do have a photo where it looks like we're holding hands back on our trip in Singapore, so maybe there's a submission there. I thought it could be fun to start a post in our Facebook community, and people can post pictures either with their siblings or their partner, and we can all guess as well.
It'd be quite funny if there's like a massive age difference between the sibling and the
So go to Outspoken, the podcast community, and share your photos there.
Home and work on my costume. In the regular world, Halloween is when children dress up in costumes and beg for candy. In girl world, Halloween is the one night a year when a girl can dress like a total slut and no other girls can say anything about it. The hardcore girls just wear lingerie and some form of animal ears.
Doesn't she look great, honey?
What are you?
I'm a mouse. Duh.
The pandemic left its mark on Halloween this year. In the US, Halloween parades, parties, and haunted houses were cancelled due to bans on large gatherings as cases of coronavirus continue to soar. Despite the guidelines, model Kendall Jenner held a giant Halloween party on a rooftop bar in Hollywood with a star-studded guest list of over 100 people. Now, so if this party, it hasn't gone down very well, has it?
No, it went down like a lead balloon, particularly off the back of her sister Kim Kardashian's 40th birthday party, which was held at a private island. So basically, Kendall has merged her 25th birthday with a Halloween party, which was held on a rooftop bar in Hollywood. And of course, this is in the middle of a pandemic and where cases in the US are absolutely soaring. Now, this comes off the back of the LA Public Health putting out recommendations that residents that gather with up to two or more households should only do so outdoors and be wearing masks and keeping 6 feet of distance the entire time. Now, there were reports that there were 100 people in attendance at the party, and outside the party, they were doing rapid tests for coronavirus. Now, the tests seem to be quite different in the US. They're more swab-based around the mouth.
They're not very accurate, to be honest. They've been using these tests on movie sets. There was an incident in America where Jillian Michaels, who was, of course, one of the trainers on The Biggest Loser, she got COVID, and she tested herself using one of these rapid tests, and she got two negative results. She did the proper test, and she was actually positive for COVID. So it's quite controversial, the fact that Kendall is using this type of testing.
Now, when you say swab testing, in Australia, we of course do use swabs. I mean, everyone keeps saying that it's like a brain tickler. They're putting the swabs so far up the nose. However, these tests are swabbing saliva.
Mm. And what was also disturbing was that no one at the party appeared to be wearing masks at all.
Except Halloween masks.
Yeah, except Halloween ones. Now, guests at this party included The Weeknd, Winnie Harlow, Justin and Hailey Bieber, Jaden Smith, Kanye West, Kim Kardashian, Scott Disick, Kylie Jenner, Travis Scott and Paris Hilton.
I've got to say, The Weeknd's Halloween costume, I think, won Halloween. That was so amazing. Did you guys see it?
Yeah, he came as the Nutty Professor. I feel like that was just the best costume going around on the internet.
It looked so much like the Nutty Professor. Yeah. It was hilarious.
It's quite ironic because their costumes were so Instagrammable, but Kendall actually had a blanket no social media policy, and this was put on little orange cards around the room.
So the note actually said, take all the photos you want, but please do not post on social media of any kind.
Well, it seems like her sister Kylie did not listen because the party is all over her Instagram account.
Yeah, well, we should also mention that Kendall dressed up as Pamela Anderson and that costume was actually insane.
I like the dedication to the eyebrows, the thin eyebrows and yeah. the barbed wire tattoo.
Talking about the no social media rule, do you actually think it was a wise decision of Kendall to tell people not to post? Because there was a lot of debate with Kim Kardashian's 40th birthday and people were saying they didn't have an issue with her having it, but they had an issue with them putting it on social media.
I don't know. I find that question quite strange because I think that she clearly had the no social media policy because they were trying to conceal the fact that they were having the party. I think it's completely wrong to try and do that. It's very suspicious to have a no social media policy.
It's strange to invite that many celebrities to a party and expect it not to appear on social media, especially with Halloween costumes.
Here's an idea. Don't do the wrong thing and then you don't have anything to conceal.
I think the issue is more about the bragging of the event because so many people aren't allowed to be having parties in the US. And if they legally were allowed to have it, are they actually thinking, oh, maybe people will get upset if I post it, so we won't post anything and people won't get upset about it?
Well, it definitely looked like Kendall was happy to post for photos that night.
That's strange, though, because were they legally allowed to have it, or is it just, you know, were the health guidance just based on trick-or-treating?
Well, because it was a rooftop bar, there may have been some loopholes that they got through because technically it might have been considered an outdoor venue.
Do you know what irritates me though, and what would piss me off if I was in America, is the fact that the rich just seem to be getting away with everything. I mean, who is a normal person that can have people over for Halloween in the US and that can afford to have rapid COVID testing in place? No, it's like the AFL all over again.
This party sent Twitter into an absolute frenzy. There was one Twitter user who shared a video of Kendall Jenner blowing out her candles. And she wrote, okay, Kendall Jenner blowing out candles as a masked waiter holds her cake and tries to move out of the way was actually the scariest thing I've seen Halloween. Did you guys see this video?
I haven't seen it.
No, I haven't seen it.
So basically, obviously they're all not wearing masks. The waiters have to be wearing masks and Kendall is just blowing out this cake. This woman is trying to avoid being touched by it.
Everyone who has celebrated a birthday knows that you don't blow out the candles. You awkwardly wave them off.
Yeah. Well, the other very awkward costume was from Jaden Smith. And he was accused of trying to mock the whole corona situation.
I saw that.
Well, he appeared dressed as a COVID patient with an oxygen mask on his face.
That is so bad.
And it was very offensive, I suppose, to people's families who have lost people during this time. I mean, it's really not a laughing matter.
Yeah, it's just, it reeks of the rich doing, as you said, whatever they want, not really caring. I mean, the amount of money that goes into some of these costumes, like the fact that Kylie Jenner has had so many different costumes, Kim's had so many different costumes as well. And did anyone see on Kim's Instagram story, she's made like this whole haunted spider house for her kids because obviously they can't go out trick-or-treating. And also we saw Courtney having those pumpkin carvings of her children's faces.
Oh my god, that was next level. Can you imagine if that was your job? You just like, oh, today I'm just carving like just, the kids' faces.
Like, I've got to say, I'm all for going all out decorating for Christmas, and I suppose if I was in America, Halloween as well. But I feel like, as you said, do we need to see it? I think that the whole argument around Kim Kardashian's Tahiti birthday bash, a lot of people thought it probably wasn't appropriate to share the photos online with so many people out there struggling.
Well, I just think it's hard because in America, so many people, particularly kids, are making sacrifices this Halloween. I mean, so many kids have already missed out on their summer holidays. They've missed out on going to school, seeing their friends, and then they have to make a sacrifice, but it seems like the rich don't have to do it.
Except if you're part of the election. I mean, Trump's had all of these idiots out at his rallies, so it's like nobody's taking it seriously in America at all.
Well, one celebrity who did do the right thing was Heidi Klum, and she is known as being the Queen of Halloween, and she has held one of the most iconic annual Halloween parties for the last 2 decades. And what I loved about her is that she, instead of throwing a Halloween party, she urged people to stay home for Halloween. She actually created a 5-minute little movie, which kind of poked fun at COVID, but in a way that everyone could relate to. So basically, she showed her kids complaining that Halloween was cancelled. So to cheer them up, she decided to make a costume for them. So she said, "Oh, I've got it, the perfect costume." She raced upstairs to find a whole cupboard full of stockpiled toilet paper, and then she proceeded to cover them up as mummies. And basically, the kids then turned into real mummies and tried to kill her. Wow. So it was kind of that fun of stay at home, but don't kill each other.
Jeez, doesn't the toilet paper thing seem so long ago, like very early days of the pandemic? But that's very clever.
So to put it into context, we should probably look at some of the guidelines and restrictions that were in place in the US for Halloween. Now, New York City Health Department recommended people avoid large groups, haunted houses, and bobbing for apples.
Do people still do that?
Can you imagine during a pandemic, people dipping their face into water, bobbing for apples?
That's just a trouble waiting to happen even without the pandemic.
Sorry, germ pit.
Do you guys remember at school, we had that big day that was like that big fete at school? Mm. And I remember my friend Alicia and I, we needed to make some money. We wanted to go and get a milkshake. And so people were doing the apple bopping, like
bobbing,
bobbing. Anyway.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so they were just filling bins with water. So I remember we just filled this bin with water and it had like just rubbish at the bottom. And we're like, does anyone want to do that?
It wasn't apple bobbing.
I think people were just wetting their head.
It was because it was hot and people wanted to wet their head in a disgusting bin. Anyway, moving on.
We made the 20 cents. So,
well, just moving on. Lots of festivities have actually been cancelled for Halloween, including the Greenwich Village Halloween Parade, which is nearly a 50-year tradition, which typically draws tens of thousands of people to the streets of Manhattan. And I always remember seeing this parade paid out on Seinfeld.
Yeah, well, also in Pittsburgh, trick-or-treating was called off for everybody. So everyone was forced to stay at home.
Well, I actually saw an Instagram story of Hilary Duff taking her daughter Banks. Like, she wasn't taking her trick-or-treating, but she kind of just wanted her to see sort of kids out on the street, like obviously at a distance. And she was wearing a cute little dinosaur outfit. And she said that there weren't even anyone out there. Like, it was a ghost town. So obviously everyone was doing the right thing.
Well, there were actually some states that did allow trick-or-treating. And it was really cute because some families made some really great modifications. So candy chutes, they became very popular. So they were made from kind of tubes that shot candy out to people and kids were loving it. Another modification was that people had tables of wrapped lollies or wrapped parcels to take. So I love that kids still were able to enjoy it, but do it in a safer way.
See, I would have preferred it. I mean, I know going trick-or-treating in Australia, it's kind of random because not everyone does it. And I remember taking our cousins and I hated knocking on the door and having to like converse with the people. I think that sounds like a great idea. Mm.
Yeah, well, I just think it was so great to see people making those modifications and still having a good time. And that's why I'm particularly mad at this birthday party Kendall Jenner held. We have seen more than 230,000 people die in the US of COVID-19. There have been a total of 9 million cases in America. Over the past 2 weeks, more than 78,000 new cases have been reported on average each day, and that has risen from 55 cases in mid-October. So it is just snowballing out of control, and they are now entering winter.
I wonder if they'll care if a whole bunch of famous people get sick from the party.
They think they're immune to it. You're not immune.
These producers are fucking idiots. I'm going home. I don't need the money. Do you think these gonna pay my mortgage? I've got money.
I know you are.
Listen, Gemma.
I'm claustrophobic, Darren!
Let's get into the influencer rap. And I was so excited by this news. I'm a little bit too invested in this update, which is Steph Claire Smith has announced on Instagram that she is pregnant with her first child to husband Josh Miller.
The photo she shared was so cute. It was Josh kissing her stomach. And what I love was that she was wearing a white dress with her abs still on display.
Oh my gosh. So my first reaction when someone posted this in the community, I yelled out to Reese, "Oh my God, Steph Claire Smith's pregnant. I can't believe it." And then he's like, "Why? Aren't they married?" I'm like, "Yeah, but..." And then he actually was getting so offended because I was on my phone and not paying attention to what he was saying. And I had to explain to him, "Look, I've been doing the Keep It Cleaner program for longer than we've been together. This is actually very big news to me."
I think what people loved about it was that it was just so organic and genuine. It wasn't anything flash. It was just a heartfelt picture. And even the comment, it said, Mini Miller due April 2021. I just felt it was just simple. And, you know, we see a lot of influencers making a big deal about their pregnancies, each to their own, whatever you want to do. But something about this just seemed really nice to me.
Yeah, and it's, I think because it coincided with lockdown restrictions easing, there was sort of excitement in the air in Melbourne. And I think it was great timing to make the announcement.
Yeah, it was really great timing, and it kind of makes a lot of sense because in the days leading up to it, Steph was very emotional about when she was watching the different press conferences, and it becomes more obvious now because how difficult would it be to have that news but not be even able to see your family in person and enjoy that news with them?
Yeah, and I was actually listening to Steph interviewed on the Healthy Hustlers podcast, and I found it quite interesting because she was sharing how she had really struggled mentally during the lockdown and also this year, I suppose, with we never know what's going on in people's lives. And I think this was really beautiful news. I know she has been very much focused on her career, and I did have a few questions regarding because Steph and Laura have recently launched Kick 2.0, and they've introduced a whole bunch of new personal trainers into the program, which predominantly used to focus on them doing new workouts kind of every day. They kind of did new videos every couple of months that then went onto the platform. And it kind of did make me think, oh, maybe that's why. Maybe because she's pregnant, she's realizing that she's going to have to start relinquishing some of that control of her app to other people to share the load.
Well, I think the pregnancy will really open up a new demographic for Kick though as well. I think there will be some emphasis put towards mums in postpartum or mums training during pregnancy. It will be really interesting to see what comes. What is also interesting about this announcement is that Steph joins so many other influencers and celebrities who have announced their pregnancy this year. And I feel like it's no coincidence that it comes during the lockdown time.
I mean, obviously there's a lot of time at home where there's not much else to do, but jokes aside, I do think COVID has made a lot of people reflect on what's important in their life. And for Steph, who's always racing around to different events and functions and, you know, working on this amazing app, it's quite clear that she realized that family was something that she actually wanted right away. And as you said, there's quite a few celebrities that have joined her. I mean, Hilary Duff is pregnant with her third baby, Jacinta Campbell, Elise Knowles, Laura and Maddie J, and also big names like Carly Kloss and Emily Ratajkowski, who released that very controversial pregnancy video.
Even locally, we've had people from Adelaide like Jamie Riley. It just seems everyone on my Instagram feed is pregnant at the moment. And I personally am really enjoying watching their journeys. It's really nice to see something good coming out of such a terrible year.
Well, another journey of a different type that has been catching my attention on Instagram is Oystergate. Now, last week we spoke about influencer Ruby Tuesday Matthews holding up a Jetstar flight after she left the airport to enjoy some oysters at a fancy restaurant. So Jetstar decided to get in on the fun and they shared a photo of Sarah and Nick Davidson eating some oysters in Tasmania. And they wrote, "Cheers to Tassie opening up its borders today to SA, Queensland, WA, NT and ACT. Who's keen for a Tassie adventure?"
I love that they really went there with this post. Someone who didn't love it was Ruby. She wrote under it, "The fact that you condone online bullying, clearly a low blow and a dig at me in the light of the current story. Grow up, Jetstar." She then shared a screenshot of Jetstar's post on her Insta story and wrote, "Quick, Jetstar, delete all your comments showing you support bullying. Quick, how about you just apologize and support me with this instead of trying to point the finger? The one thing everyone knows you're best at, passing the blame." I just think it's ridiculous. Why is she allowed to go and have fun with it, call it Oystergate, post pictures of her eating oysters at other locations, get her friends involved like Roxy Jasenko, yet Jetstar aren't allowed to have fun with it too?
Yeah, it was very surprising considering, as you said, she did initiate the whole Oystergate hashtag. And I mean, if she hadn't continued it on, I don't think Jetstar would have picked up and made fun of it. I think to say it's online bullying is a little bit far-fetched. I actually think it was amazing PR for them. It showed that they had a bit of personality. They were happy to make a joke out of it. One thing that didn't really sit well with me, though, was the use of Sarah and Nick Davidson in the photo, because Sarah actually responded on her Instagram story and tagged Jetstar. And she wrote, "This post has just been brought to our attention and I feel the need to emphasize that we had no choice or control over it going up on that account. Some comments have suggested that Nick and I were piggybacking off bullying to get exposure, even though we had no part in sharing it. I hope you all know me well enough to know I would never ever condone bullying of anyone, especially not for followers. This was taken over a year ago during a campaign that was a privilege to work on, but not relevant at all to the situation right now. I've asked for it to be removed and have also contacted Ruby Tuesday Matthews directly to offer my love and support. Now, I think this was an excellent response from Sarah. It was very respectful to obviously a previous partnership she had with Jetstar, but she also was, you know, having to share that she wasn't a part of it because it's very against her brand to be included in something that's been labeled as bullying.
Well, other influencers also jumped to her defense. Mel Watts and Lily Brown slammed Jetstar, accusing them of bullying. What I found kind of interesting, though, is isn't Lily Brown's dad a pilot? I could not remember for which airline. I assume not Jetstar.
I'm pretty sure it's Cathay Pacific. Don't hold me to that. Yeah. I just think at the time with airlines struggling so much financially, I'm not really going to be anti an airline.
I think everyone just needed to take it for what it was. Everyone had a bit of fun with it.
Let's move on.
It's over now. I feel like we couldn't get through the influencer rap without mentioning Sky Wheatley's pregnancy announcement video. I know this one is a little bit old, but I caught up with it on the weekend and it was bloody hilarious. Now, I know she has been involved in a lot of controversy recently, but I took this video for what it was, a bit of fun.
Does she think it's a bit of fun though? Because sometimes I think people are laughing at her, not with her.
Well, I think she realized that it was quite funny. So for those who haven't seen this video, the majority of the video is made up of Sky Wheatley showing herself taking about 5 different pregnancy tests, and she and her partner Lockie cannot determine whether it is a positive or negative reading, despite the fact that it is incredibly clear that it is a positive reading.
Yeah, and they go so far as having to actually get a test because I think they were using the line method, like, you know, 2 lines is pregnant, 1 line is not.
Or it's the crossing line.
Yeah. So instead, they had to go get a pregnancy test that simply read pregnant or not pregnant because they just could not tell the line.
The thing that was so awkward was that they seemed somewhat relieved when they thought that it was a negative reading. And I just kind of reflect how you would feel if you were that kid watching that back.
Again, I just don't understand Sky's editing or vetting process. It just seems like she puts it into Final Cut Pro and just pieces it together. There's no editing whatsoever.
Well, my boyfriend couldn't get over the fact that she actually videoed herself sitting on the toilet taking the test. And at one stage, it was so funny because she makes Lockie come into the toilet with her and her son Forrest. And then Lockie's like, wow, your wee stinks so much. Have you drunk any water today?
Oh my God. She's probably had asparagus or something.
It was so funny. I highly recommend going and checking it out. Just watch the first 5 minutes. It's bloody hilarious.
What should I think?
We're so scared of the piss.
Oh, it stinks. Like, have you drunk any water today?
Go get me.
Oh, honey, have you drunk any water today?
Now let's get into the reality rap, and it should basically be renamed the SAS rap. Our first story is about Roxy Jasenko, and she has pulled out some pretty damning receipts after SAS instructor Ollie Ollerton, I can't believe that's actually his name, it was after he talked shit about her in the press. Now this comes off the back of Roxy's portrayal on the show, and she wasn't portrayed in the best light. She was shown as being quite weak, and they failed to mention the fact that she had actually undergone surgery a few weeks before filming. Now, Ollie told news.com.au that Roxy was horrendous from the onset and that she was the celebrity that disappointed him the most during filming.
Oh my God.
So he wrote to her in a DM, "Be proud, people have no idea what the reality is like, amplified by injury. Kiss."
Loud.
So this was after the first episode aired, and it's quite different to the tone that he then used when he publicly sledged her in the news.com story. But here's the wildest part. Ollie also asked Roxy to help him with some kind of business proposition he has in Australia. He wrote, "I have a business venture I want to launch in Australia. Maybe you could help, but first, go relax."
It's funny because this guy clearly didn't know who he was messing with. Did he not listen to the Kyle and Jackie O interview where she calls everyone out?
Yeah, well, good on Roxy. I feel like it was a good move for her to do this.
Well, talking about the staff on SAS, I was pretty shocked when I heard the news that the chief instructor, Ant Middleton, has actually a very violent past. So in 2013, he was actually jailed for 14 months for assaulting 2 police officers. Now, What I found most disturbing was there were a lot of news articles regarding this, but it kind of painted it as, oh, it was some sort of drunken brawl and some police officers got involved. But digging a little bit deeper, the assault involved a female police officer. And she recounted the story, and in fact, she said that she was so fearful because he had completely beaten up her male colleague to the point where she thought he was dead. And then he turned on her and she was very savagely beaten as well. He then proceeded to run off and they had to get police dogs to find him. So this isn't some small assault at a pub, which they tried to make it out to be.
Well, some rather problematic tweets have also been revealed. He labelled protesters in the Black Lives Matter movement as absolute scum. He later tweeted, "I did not mean to say that BLM are scum. I was trying to make a comment about violent protesters of any kind who I despise." Now, this is a tad hypocritical coming from someone who has served time in jail for assaulting two police officers. Yeah.
It does make me feel rather uncomfortable, particularly after seeing the honey badger punch Sabrina in the face and then go on to tackle the female swimmer. It just seems gross that we've got this Ant Middleton who has been charged with violence against a woman making these orders.
I always find it interesting how these little media leaks come out, though. Do you think that Channel 7 have been trying to hide this about him for some time, or do you think that it helps the ratings that some controversy like this has come out?
I don't think they were trying to hide it because he's already got a profile in the UK, so it was already publicly reported on previously, but obviously people are, you know, digging up what they can find about him and it's come out. I do think it adds to making it more relevant. We've seen with The Bachelorette that there's not really many gossip articles about Ellie or Becky because no one really cares, whereas with the SAS, people are caring. There are a lot of rumours coming out about the show.
Thanks for that, Phil.
Phil?
Oh, it's just because the dance is outside of school time, so I assumed.
Well, you assumed wrong, Will. Very wrong.
Sorry. Right then.
Say my name properly.
Mr. Gilbert.
Say thank you.
Thank you.
Say thank you, Mr. Gilbert.
Thank you, Mr. Gilbert.
Better.
It was a controversial casting decision that left Bachelor fans disappointed. In July, Warner Brothers announced former Bachelor contestant Ellie Miles and her sister Becky would be joint Bachelorettes. The bizarre move is one Bachelor producers are bound to be regretting, with the season recording its lowest ever ratings. What did you guys make of the casting decision?
Well, we spoke about it earlier on the show, and I thought it was ridiculous from the start. I think it was quite clear with the US's decision to actually have their first ever person of colour be The Bachelor that it was time for Australia to do the same. I know we did have Blake Garvey, but we've never had a female person of colour as the lead Bachelorette.
Well, the announcement also came at a time when the Black Lives Matter movement was at, you know, fever pitch, and there was no acknowledgement. I feel like the way that people reacted, it was clear that this was going to be a ratings disaster for Channel 10. No one was excited about it.
I feel like we were tricked into thinking that having two females be the Bachelorette, there was going to be something exciting about it. I assumed they might be pitted against each other or, you know, something. I mean, in the New Zealand series, they only announced the second Bachelorette midway through the season and then it made the men kind of have to choose. Whereas it's kind of weird. It just seems like, oh, Ellie's asked if her sister can come along and there's just no explanation.
It's like Becky's just babysitting her sister. They think we want to see some wholesome country gals finding love. I could not care less. I'm sorry, I could not give a shit.
I have tried to watch it and I do watch it, but I have to force myself because it's so boring and literally I'm on the phone the whole time just looking at other things.
I mean, unless it's not that the girls are lovely. There's just nothing entertaining. There's no surprises. There's nothing around the corner that we're waiting to see.
We don't know anything about Becky. We don't know, as on the So Dramatic podcast, Megan said, we don't know even what her job is. So how are we meant to be invested in who she's finding love with?
They're trying to take a page out of the book of having Angie Kent, who was incredibly likable. But I'm sorry, we all knew Angie off Gogglebox. That's why we were invested in her finding love. We're not invested in some girl that we don't even know or care about or know anything about now.
Yeah, as you said, they're nice girls, but everything's so cliche. It's like, we got to crack the whip and we've got to do this. But
I also feel like because we're having to put our time between two bachelorettes, we're seeing even less of their love story. And also there are less episodes than a regular season because of COVID. So it's, you know, we're just not connecting with any of the contestants at all.
Well, last week The Bachelorette recorded its lowest ever rating. So only 470,000 Metro viewers tuned in on Wednesday night and just 441,000 on Thursday. But what's most interesting is Channel 10 relies on its 16 to 39 year old demographic making up the viewers. And a lot of those viewers, of course, watch The Bachelorette on 10 Play. And only 103,000 people tuned into Wednesday's episode on 10 Play. Well, let's put that into perspective, because somebody like Sarah's Day, YouTuber Sarah's Day, she can put up a video of her lazy Sunday afternoon and within 2 hours, it's got 100,000 views on it.
It's quite apparent that Channel 7 are trying to steal that demographic from Channel 10. They seem to be investing a lot more of their energy and resources into creating programs to put on these sort of streaming apps. They have taken Love Island away from Channel 9. They now have SAS Australia, which is booming in popularity, and they've really seemed to be taking a risk with the new shows that they're putting online.
Well, they've even got Big Brother, and those sort of shows are quite typical to the, as you said, to the Channel 10 audience. I think it's
obvious that Channel 7's older demographic is dying away, so they've got to invest it into the youth at the moment.
Well, Channel 10 are really struggling, and it's not just with the Bachelorette ratings. They've seen their ratings drop substantially for Junior MasterChef as well as the revamped Studio 10.
Really? So, I've heard everyone raving about Junior MasterChef. Maybe they only watched the first few episodes.
Yeah, I watched the first, and then I'm kind of like, I'll tune in when I feel like it. But I think The Block and SAS has really surpassed Junior MasterChef's ratings.
Well, the major drop, as I said, for The Bachelorette has been in the 16 to 39 demographic, and it made me think about who would have been a better fit. And I know when Becky and Ellie were announced as the Bachelorettes, a lot of people were saying, well, what about Abby Chatfield? And looking back, she would have been an amazing selection because she's absolutely owning the 16 to 39 demographic, especially with her podcast and also on Instagram.
I found that crazy, particularly because someone like Abby Chatfield, because she has come out as being bisexual, that would have created a bit more interest, like something new. You have women and men vying for her love.
She would have been so much more entertaining as well. She's such a character.
She would have been absolutely perfect in that role. And another former Bachelor contestant who we think would be amazing is Brittany Hockley.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone is so invested in her love story. So much so, in fact, that I saw in the Life Uncut Facebook group that someone screenshotted Brit's recent upload. It was a picture of her and her male best friend, who is actually really hot. And it looked very coupley. Mm. Like, they were kind of like hugging each other. Everyone was so excited thinking that she had a boyfriend. And people are just so genuinely invested because she's such a nice person, and she's very funny as well.
Well, on that point, the Bachelor franchise has tried to use celebrities to boost viewers, and the most popular Bachelorette series in Australia was Sophie Monk's series. So it got me thinking, if it's the 16 to 39 year old demographic that is dropping, and let's be honest, that is the core demographic of the Bachelor franchise, why not use somebody like an influencer like Shani Grimmon to be the next Bachelorette? How many people would tune into that? Better yet, what about Michael Finch as the first gay male Bachelor? That would go off.
I think Shani Grimmon would be the preferred candidate because I think Michael Finch's following is dropping off by the day. But I would be so invested in seeing Shani Grimmon as the Bachelorette. I mean, look at her videos about her breakups. They attracted so many downloads.
Well, exactly. Why not get an actual influencer? The show attracts people that want to be influencers. So why not harness that audience that's already ready-made on YouTube and Instagram, which will then transfer across into the TV platform? Because let's be honest, the Bachelor format is so outdated now. Because unlike the American Bachelor, which is really drama filled, the Australian Bachelor seems to sort of teeter between trying to cause drama but then also being family friendly. And I don't think that mix works anymore.
That's so true. And even now, if you're going on to The Bachelor or The Bachelorette for fame, it's really not promised. Because if you look at the contestants on this series of The Bachelorette, someone like Pete Mann, who, let's be honest, everyone's saying he's going to win. He's Becky's going to pick him. He's only got 5,000 followers on Instagram from being on The Bachelorette.
Wow, is it that low?
Yeah, and look at somebody like Becky, who is the star of the show. She's only got 30,000 followers. Compare that to Angie Kent, who's got 277,000. She was, of course, on Gogglebox and I'm a Celebrity. But then you look at someone like Fraser, and he's been the most popular contestant. He's got 18,300 followers. If you compare that with Kieran, he's got 117,000 and he was absolutely hated on Bachelor in Paradise.
Let's be honest, we're all experiencing Bachelor fatigue. I loved Bachelor in Paradise this season, and then we had Lockie's season of The Bachelor, and then we had The Bachelorette, and it was just too much because I'm kind of, as we spoke about on a couple of episodes ago, I think it is the right decision to give Bachelor in Paradise a break now because literally I don't want to see recycled people off the last two series appearing on it.
I think we're just also having fatigue in general over reality stars. I mean, look at the way that everyone reacted to Bella. It was so obvious that Bella was out there to get influencer fame that I feel like we're almost like, no, we're not going to make it happen for you people. We're sick of it. I mean, we've had Too Hot to Handle, Love Island. We've had all these shows being thrown at us during lockdown and we're a bit sick of it. We actually just want to follow people that we genuinely like and who aren't just looking like they're out for fame.
I do find it really interesting though, because the American series of The Bachelor has been running literally since we were 12. That's how, you know, and I still remember going down. I remember cleaning our room and we literally wandered down to the family room and Channel 9 had been left on. And it was 10 women in a spa with a man. And that was when our love affair with The Bachelor began at that age. And I still look forward to every single series of The American Bachelor. And Chris Harrison, the host, always says it's going to be the most dramatic Bachelor or Bachelorette finale we've ever had. And every year it is. It keeps topping. It keeps going up.
It delivers. It delivers controversy, drama, a love story every time. And I think it is to do with the fact that they actually spend a lot of time with The Bachelor.
Well, I think I was having a look at what actually are the differences between the Australian and the American version. And one thing that stands out is the fantasy suites. Now, in the fantasy suites, the American Bachelor or Bachelorette picks three contestants that can join them in this private fantasy suite and the cameras are off.
At separate times, not
at
all
separate
together.
Times.
I mean, that could be quite dramatic.
But it's so scandalous because you actually think, oh, wow, like, did they have sex? Did they not? Well, Hannah B., who was the most recent Bachelorette last year in America, came out and said she had sex four times with one of the contestants in the fantasy suite. Now, that just adds a new dimension to their relationship.
Well, that's one thing this series, the Australian series of The Bachelor and Bachelorette is missing, is that element of sex. It's so, everything about it is so clean cut and it's like we must ensure that this is okay for this PG audience. But in reality, we're seeing shows like Love Island where true romance is blossoming. People are going off and having sex. And then we're seeing other shows, as you mentioned, Too Hot to Handle. And it just seems so outdated and uninteresting.
Well, I think the whole thing is that the relationships don't seem very legitimate. Like there's a lot of people saying their showmance is going on. And I think another aspect of the American Bachelor that really trumps the Australian one is the fact that the Bachelor or the guys vying for the Bachelorette actually go engagement ring shopping. So they pick out a ring where a sponsor actually puts six-figure ring and gives it to them. And there is a stipulation that if the couple breaks up after 2 years of being engaged, then they have to give the ring back. But I feel like the American series have had so many more successful relationships. The funny thing is, a lot of the successful relationships aren't exactly the people that were on The Bachelor or Bachelorette. I think I had a look and there's been about 61 successful relationships from the whole franchise. So that's including Bachelor in Paradise. And they've actually got a show called Bachelor Pad there. But I feel like there's been quite a few televised weddings, so many Bachelor babies. Of course, I've had more series, but I just think there seems to be some legitimacy around it.
Well, I think, just a call out to Warner Brothers, I think you should bring Kate, Sophie and I in to sort of shake up The Bachelor
and
Bachelorette.
Not as contestants, as producers.
They tried the sister thing. It didn't work.
It's well and truly didn't work. But bring us in. We've got a few hot suggestions, so let's see if we can make this work.
I think that's all we have time for. Thank you so much for joining us. If you could subscribe and leave us a rating, that would be very much appreciated. Also, join us in our Facebook community. Get a photo of your sibling or with your partner. We'd love to guess who's who.
And we really hope that all the ads that were inserted into this episode have run smoothly. We were notified quite a few times that there was an error with one of the ads.
I'm just glad that the woman reading the ad didn't swear. I mean, I would have sworn if I'd stuffed it up a few times.
Look, I'm just glad that it wasn't one of our errors that we left in terms of a fight that we had left in or something that we
would
prefer.
That is a nightmare of mine that will happen one day. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us.